morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. It's so good to see you all this morning. Couple of announcements to share with you this morning. The first is that we are going to be celebrating communion together here in worship this morning. It's going to be the same as it has been for the last couple months. The elders will serve you, and then once everyone has received the elements, we will partake together. Session, just to remind you all, we have our monthly session meeting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock on Zoom. I think those are all of the announcements for this coming week. Did I forget anything? I'm going to go with no. All right, friends, please let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. Friends, at this time I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 441, Hear the Good News of Salvation. Now for our prayer of confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Lord, have mercy upon us, heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love. In Jesus Christ, amen.
Now and ever shall.
us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another in faith. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Friends, I invite you to remain seated for our congregational anthem. We are going to sing, Father, I Adore You. Before I do the pastoral prayer, I have a couple of updates for you all. I spoke to Kathy Sagi this morning. She is receiving some more antibiotics this morning, so she's not able to be here with us this morning. But she asked if you would keep her in your prayers. She was in the hospital earlier this week with cellulitis, so they're trying to get that under control. So prayers that antibiotics that she gets this morning worked and that will clear up the infection. Also, if you could keep Bev Ruby in your prayers, she fell earlier this week. She was in the hospital for a couple of days. She's fine, but she's pretty bruised and sore and stiff. So if you could just pray for a quick recovery for her, I'm sure she will appreciate it. All right, friends, let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you on this beautiful summer morning, so grateful for the opportunity to come together and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we lift up to you those we know and we love who are ill. We pray especially this morning for Bev Ruby and for Kathy Sagi. Lord, we also lift up to you those who are facing particular challenges this morning. Lord, I pray for my sister who is struggling over the loss of her beloved dog, Nala. We pray that you'd be with her and her husband, Brian, as they mourn. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. Lord, we are so grateful that we seem to be through the worst phase of this pandemic. Our numbers are good, and we are just so grateful for opportunities to do things that feel normal over the summer, things like 5K races and barbecues and pool parties and parades and all of the things that make summer so fun and exciting. With that, Lord, a lot of people in our congregation are traveling this week and this summer, some for the first time. We pray that you would grant them traveling mercenaries, that they would get to their destination safely and on time, and that they would be able to return home safely as well. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised them your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our next hymn. It's number 485, We Know That Christ Is Raised. Be seated. Friends, let us prepare our hearts and our minds for our offering. give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. 2 Corinthians 4:13 and then 5:1. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fixed our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly trend, our earthly tent, life is destroyed, we have a building from God, an external house in heaven, not built by human hands. Praise the Lord.
That was a good one.
Let us pray. Living God, help us so to hear your word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do, through Christ our Lord. Amen. What does it mean to live a life of faith? This is the question we will be reflecting on during this long stretch of ordinary time we have before us. Ordinary time is the time in the church calendar between Pentecost and Advent. So we're roughly talking about June through December. So 6 months out of the church year we spend in ordinary time. So now that we know who Jesus is, and also maybe why Jesus matters, the church strives to apply these teachings to its life together. This summer, as I was doing my worship planning, I decided to take a little bit of a break from the gospel readings and instead focus on our epistle readings. Now, epistle is just a fancy word for letter. So we are going to be reading excerpts from the letters to the different churches that are in the part of the Bible after the gospel readings. This week, our text is an excerpt from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. So since I don't always preach from this book, I thought it would be helpful to give you a little bit of background. So in about the year 50, Paul founded the church in Corinth, and then once he founded the church, he moved on to form another church in Ephesus. While he was in Ephesus, he began to hear rumors that the community in Corinth was behaving badly. He was hearing stories about jealousies and rivalries and some immoral behavior the community was participating in. So in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, Paul admonishes the church to do better. And some would argue he was a little bit stern and heavy-handed and maybe a little mean in that first letter. So Paul then writes a second letter to the church in Corinth, and the purpose of this letter is to remind them that they can do these things because Jesus loves them. In chapter 4, where our scripture reading for today picks up, I think Paul makes a really interesting argument. He argues that we can trust that our God is powerful because God chose human beings to bear witness to God's glory. What he's doing here is he's talking about the resurrection. In choosing to raise Jesus from the dead, God, it's demonstrating that God wants to redeem our human bodies too. If you read the first letter to the church in Corinthians, you'll see that human bodies are kind of the site of a lot of problematic behavior in the church. So what Paul is saying here is our bodies aren't bad. In fact, God is using our bodies to bring about the redemption of humanity. And God did this on purpose. God did this deliberately. And after redeeming our bodies, God is able to send God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in the community of gathered believers. The really cool, amazing, mind-blowing good news of Jesus' resurrection is that because of this, humanity now has hope for the future. If God can redeem the worst hardship a human being can undergo, and here he's talking specifically about death, then certainly God can use whatever hardship we're currently going through for God's glory. We have hope. Because God gave evil an opportunity to do its worst, and the worst that evil can do is death. And God still overcame evil. So the whole reason that Paul writes this letter to the church is to remind them that these physical spaces that you identify with, spaces like your body, your home, your city, even the people that are in your social network, these spaces are not completely in your control. But you can take heart because the God who raised Jesus from the dead is with you always. Therefore, we have hope. The other day I was in a meeting and somebody asked the question, what does it mean to be a Christian in this day and age? And they were specifically talking about what does it mean to be a Christian in this like post-pandemic era that we're living through. And I think my answer to this question is the same in this post-pandemic era as it would have been to the early church that was founded in Corinth. I think that the life of faith is figuring out how to be hopeful when things are hard. And I think at that point I gave some example of what this could look like. I think I told a couple of you that a couple of months ago, my aunt had to make the really difficult decision to put her mother in an assisted living facility. Her mother has advanced dementia to the point where she was becoming aggressive and aggravated and agitated. Simple things like getting dressed in the morning were now taking hours and a lot of help to complete. My aunt's mother wasn't able to live on her own. So during COVID, my aunt and uncle took turns caring for her. One of them would be caring for my aunt, and the other one would be in the bedroom trying to work, and they would like switch off shifts that way. Well, one night, my aunt's mother fell on her way back from the bathroom. The next morning, my aunt was having trouble determining if she hurt herself in the fall because she wasn't able to articulate if she was in pain. So they took her to the doctor, and the doctor confirmed the news that my aunt didn't want to hear. It was time to transition her mother to an assisted living facility. And in so doing, she was going to have to give up some control of her mother's care. And hopefully, the place that she was taking her to would be able to care for her in ways that my aunt couldn't. Now, knowing my aunt, I know this was not an easy decision for her. She and my uncle have been caring for her mother for the last 7 years since she was diagnosed with dementia. But when I asked my aunt, kind of, how are you doing with this transition? My aunt said, you know, Rebecca, this isn't the plan that I had for my mother. If it was my decision, I would keep her at home as long as I can. But I have to trust that she is going to the place that she needs to go to receive the care that she needs. And I have to trust that God is going to use this really terrible situation to care for her. I was a little bit shocked and blown away in a good way at my aunt's faith in this circumstance. And I think it's a good example of a person fighting really hard to maintain hope when faced with a difficult, difficult decision. Friends, it's really easy to be hopeful when everything is going the way that we want it to. It's also really easy to freak out and to start spiraling when things happen that are outside of our control. And I would like to argue that both reactions actually betray a lack of faith in God's plan for our lives and for our world. As Christians, we are called to fight for a world where God's vision for humanity flourishes. And sometimes that's going to mean letting go of the control that we think we have over our lives. Friends, as we all know, life doesn't always work out the way that we planned it would. And in those moments when life throws us a curveball, all we really can control is our response. Do we respond in hope and in trust? Or do we respond in fear and in anger? Friends, I imagine that for many of us, this last year of our lives has not exactly gone according to plan. Things that felt really simple in our pre-pandemic life, like should we go out to dinner, are now very, very complicated. One thing I'm noticing in my work with our presbytery is that every single church that I have worked with over these last couple months is anxious about its future. Every church is asking, now that the worst of this pandemic is behind us, how are we going to move forward? Friends, however each church decides to move forward, the church must be rooted in hope that the same God who raised Jesus from the dead, that God is actively working in our lives and our faith communities now. Our God is not just the God of the past, or even just the God of some unknown, far-off future. Our God is the God of the present. Even when we can't see God, even when we're not sure what God is up to, God is alive and God is in control. Therefore, we do not lose hope. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, we're going to remain seated for our communion hymn. We are going to sing verses 1 and 3 of Loaves Were Broken, Words Were Spoken. moment, we will begin our celebration of communion. You should see in your pews the communion liturgy. If you want to grab it, you can follow along with me. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you. And also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever say, to the glory of your name, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world.
The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is a sign of the new covenant, shed for you in my blood, that whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. The gifts of God for the people of God.
pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, number 8, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. Prepare to go from this place, let me offer a word of blessing. We know our efforts cannot bring in God's kingdom, but hope plunges us into the struggle for victories over evil that are possible now in the world, the church, and our individual lives. Hope gives us courage and energy to contend against all opposition, however invincible it may seem, for the new world and the new humanity are surely coming. Jesus is Lord. He has been Lord from the beginning. He will be Lord at the end. Even now, he is Lord. Amen.